Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. It's been a while, but you remember me and I remember you. And we always look forward to being with God's people in this part of the vineyard. It was a joy for us to be with you in the remembrance this morning. The remembrance of our Lord, of one who first remembered us. We are gathered this morning to remember him and to proclaim his death until he comes. We're going to read, beginning in Isaiah in chapter 41. We're going to read three different passages. They're short, and they will essentially say the same thing. And which is our subject this morning. We are calling this terms of endearment. And these passages would say essentially the same thing. Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 8 says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." The seed of Abraham, my friend. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. This is a cry from a man who is in trouble and who needs the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat. Verse 7 says, the enemy is closing in on him. "Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" And finally, in James in chapter 2, the epistle of James in chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The friend of God. When I mentioned that it's a term of endearment, because it is a term used by one who is beloved and admired. It is a word and or an act of expressing affection, my friend. You have a lot of associates. You have a lot of colleagues, if you will. But you won't call all of them your friend. And they will not all of them would consider you their friend. A friend is a special relationship. It's used of one that's attached to another by affection or esteem. And Abraham, throughout the scriptures, he had gotten to that place of intimacy with the Lord, that the Lord regarded him as his friend, my friend. And you might say, well, I am also a friend of God. I am a friend of the Lord. Well, let's just examine what the scripture means when it says Abraham was the friend of God, and see if you or I qualify as being a friend of God. You say, well, I love the Lord, so do I. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, so am I. There were many men of God throughout the scriptures, but how many of them were considered the friend of God? Now we go to the New Testament to find out what it really means to be a friend. Jesus defined that term. He defined that relationship in no uncertain terms, beloved. And you and I must get to that place where we sit down in the light of God's word and say, am I really the friend of God? Jesus made it abundantly clear what it means to be a friend of God. And here it is, beloved. We can't change anything. Jesus set the bar. He set the standard. Whether you or I can consider ourselves the friend of God. We are believers. But have we risen to that place of intimacy, that place of closeness, where you and I can be considered the friend of God? I know positionally, beloved, let me just make haste to say that, positionally, we were once hostile, but now we have been reconciled, and we are in that relationship with the Lord, but in our personal conduct, you know, there's a position for the child of God, but there's also a condition. So this is what Jesus said in John chapter 15. And here we would know if we qualify. In chapter 15 of John's Gospel, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You are my friends, if you do whatever, not only the things that are convenient, not only the things that cause me the least pain, not only those things that would not disrupt my plans and my lifestyle, but if you do whatsoever I command you. Therein lies the qualification. Then how then did this man Abraham, how did he become the friend of God? He became the friend of God because he did. He did whatever the Lord commanded him. He rose to that place of intimacy and closeness to the Lord, that even in difficult times, even in hard decision times, he would get up and he would move at the command of the Lord. He was called the friend of God because Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
of God. Was it easy? If you examine the life of Abraham, none of the things that are recorded for us there were easy. The first thing God said to Abraham, as he appeared on the pages of Scripture, it says in Genesis in chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 4 says, "So Abram departed." He left home. You think of it in terms of your life. Think of it in terms of your situation. And God has called you to leave. Leave your familiar surroundings. Leave all the attachments of family. Leave all that you hold dear to go to a place that He didn't explain to you. You didn't know where you were going. Think of Abraham packing up his household and loading the camels. And the neighbor comes by and says, "Abraham, where are you going?" He says, "I don't know." "And why are you leaving?" "Well, God says to leave." Beloved, we have to come to the place where we don't question God's command. I think of so many, and we hesitate because we don't understand. We delay because we are unsure of the outcome. It says, Abraham departed. It is explained to us more fully in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. In the book of faith, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed." That's the word. Obeyed. "And he went out, not knowing where he went." You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Think of other servants in Scripture, and they were not always obedient. They were not always ready to drop everything. When Peter had that vision, for instance, and he had that vision of all that lovely food that you like to eat, but he wasn't fond of it. And in that vision, the Lord tell him, "Slay and eat." What did he say? "Not so, Lord." Now, that's a contradiction in term. "Not so," and "Lord" in the same breath, it doesn't work that way. If he is Lord, then it must be so. And if it is not so, you can't call him Lord. For Jesus said, "Why? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted, it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He had that intimate relationship with God. He trusted what God said. God's word, and that's the place you and I must come to, beloved, to the place where we trust the Lord, not our own judgment. Abraham was by no means perfect in every detail. There's only one such person. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He had his failures, his ups and downs. When it comes to God's instructions, when it comes to God's command, beloved, he was there in the light of what Jesus said. He did whatsoever was commanded of him. He had his failures, and you know, when him and his wife concocted this scheme, and they had a son by a bondwoman. And Abraham thought, well, maybe God is going to fulfill his plan. And God had promised him a son that he just didn't wait. I'm 100 years old. Come on. God says, you see that son that you are nurturing, that son that you want to be to be the heir, it's not him. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. It's not about Ishmael, but it is in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The time came when they must make that, he must make that decision. When God said, you have to separate them, you see, they weren't getting along. The son of the bondwoman and the son of the free, they weren't getting along. And Sarah didn't like it too much. And she says, you got to get rid of that bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. My son. Abraham didn't like it. He was grieved, the Bible says. He was grieved at what Sarah had said. He was grieved. You want me to put out my son? I had already asked God that Ishmael might stand before him. Then God came in and says, be not grieved over the bondwoman and her son. Don't be disturbed of what Sarah said. I'm going to make him a great nation. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to make him a great nation. But it is in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So how did he handle that? That was tough. I mean, leaving home is one thing. I've got Sarah with me. I've got my son with me. Now I have two sons. But you want me to get rid of one? You want me to send them away? It's getting more difficult, beloved. And that's where friendship comes in. Friendship. You ever struggle with a problem? A real problem? And you don't know of anyone except your best friend. You can confide in. You won't tell it to me, you won't tell it to your neighbor, but you have that one person. That one person. And you want to share your intimate secrets with them. And there's something that's weighing heavy. And you go to that person. And you pour out your heart and your soul. Because you hold that person in high esteem. You are attached to that person by affection. And you share. You share your secrets. That's what you do with a friend. God says to Abraham, you have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And when the word came from the Lord, it says there in Genesis 21, he sent her away, verse 14. He sent her away. Was it easy? No, it was very difficult. Very difficult. But coming from the Lord, beloved, we leave the details with the Lord. We let him solve the problem. We let him take care of the outcome. It's not up to us. in the words of Mary, his mother, to the servants at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Then you are qualified. Excuse me. Then you have arrived at the standard. You have met the criterion of being a friend of God. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. This is what it says in the New Testament concerning Ishmael. And Hagar, the bondwoman. This is what it says. It's in Galatians, that is. In Galatians in chapter 4. This is the interpretation here. Just for the sake of time, we're just going to read the last two verses. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. God took care of the situation. He took care of the outcome. He says, I'm gonna make him a great nation. I'm gonna make him a great nation. But for God's purpose, beloved, God was looking for, was maintaining the channel to which the Messiah would be born, beginning with Abraham, through his son Isaac, through his son Jacob, through his son Judah, and down the line. God was preparing the way for the Messiah. That's the season we are approaching. We are getting ready to celebrate the advent of Messiah. And you look at the genealogy there. And what a wonderful thing how God maintained that seed. Obed, Jesse, David. What does the scripture says? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It is in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I mentioned that you share intimate secrets with your friend. Not with everyone. Just the ones you consider to be your friend, your close friend. The one whom you trust. And this is exactly what God did when he had planned to go into Sodom and Gomorrah and to wipe them out because of their sin. The Lord stopped by Abraham's place. That's what you do. You always can drop in at your best friend. You don't have to make an appointment. Your friend. He dropped into Abraham's place, and Abraham prepared that meal, him and two angels. But God says, you know, I'm going to do something, and shall I hide it from Abraham? You don't hide the things from your best friend, your intimate companion. You don't. If I'm to ask this audience today, all of you who are married, who is your best friend, I know what you're going to tell me, and I'll tell you the same thing, your spouse. Your best friend. You share. And you have terms of endearment. You know what you call your precious person next to you. You have, everybody's got that. What's God say? God say, you know, Abraham, I know this. I know him very well. And I can trust him. And I can share intimate secrets with him. And that's what God did exactly that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. The two angels have gone down now to Sodom, and only the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. The Lord stayed back with Abraham. Verse 17 of Genesis 18 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. You don't begin to talk to anybody. You don't begin to share things with anybody until you know them. Abraham proved to God that he was faithful. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, he began to tell Abraham the secrets. The Lord said, the Lord disclosed to his friend his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham intercede on behalf of his nephew and so on. Shall I hide from Abraham? And beloved, we don't know a lot. We never get into that secret place of the Most High. We don't get so close to the Lord that he can share himself, his secrets with us. Because we haven't risen to that level of intimacy called friend. Jesus says, I have called you friends and not servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. You are my friend, I can share with you. And that's what Abraham was, because he did whatsoever the Lord commanded him. You thought giving up Ishmael was hard? Then you get to Genesis 22, and he says, wow. God had already promised that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He's about 115 or 16 years old. And God said to him, go and take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the Mount of Moriah. Wow. What would you say? What would I say? Lord, you sure about this? I thought you said truest boy, you're going to give me a seed as the sand on the seashore. What's going to happen when he dies? That's probably the natural reactions. Or give me a few days to think about it. Maybe a week, Lord. No, Abraham got up early in the morning. Oh, yeah. No whys. Why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? Why Isaac, Lord? No. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, got the wood and the fire, made his way to Mount Moriah. He didn't ask why. He didn't ask for a delay. He didn't ask God to reconsider. Third day, he saw the place afar off. He got there. What a friend. He got there. And he said to the young men that went with him, "You remain here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." "I don't know how God is going to work it out, but he said to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to leave the results with him because he is in control. We're going to come again to you. I don't know how. There has never been a resurrection before. But we're going to come back because God promised that in Isaac shall the seed be called. We're going to come back." What a friend. You can trust him. Oh, we sometimes sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything, not some things, not the difficult things, not the big things, but everything to God in prayer." We're going to come back. We're going to go and worship. And that's what worship is all about, beloved. And that's the first mention of the word worship in the Bible. And bear that in mind when you gather to worship. It involves giving. It involves sacrifice. And if you're not doing that, you're not worshiping. You're giving praise and worship and honor and glory to God. You're offering spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. And if your worship didn't cost you anything today, then you don't know what worship is. Because worship costs. And look through all throughout the scriptures, and worship always costs. It cost Abraham his son. But you see, he didn't. Yes, he did. It was out of Abraham's hand when he raised that knife. It was out of his hand. He did, as far as he was concerned, offered up his son. You don't believe me? Read the interpretation in Hebrews 11. It was out of his hand. Only God could stop him. As far as Abraham was concerned, he put his son to death. Why did I say that? Well, don't take my word for it. Let's read Hebrews 11. He did put his son to death. God stopped him in the process, but it was out of his hand. Verse 17 says, Hebrews 11, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac." He offered up Isaac. Bear that in mind. "And he that had received the promises offered," another worship word, offered. Offering is always associated with worship in the Bible. He offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting. He said, "I'm coming back." And here it is. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. This is why I said it was out of his hand. He did it. As far as he was concerned, from which also he received him in a figure. Oh, beloved, we can trust God in the dark. He received him in a figure. He offered him up. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Friendship with Jesus. Called to leave home, he obeyed. Called to send Ishmael away, he obeyed. Call to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering, he obeyed. That's what qualified him as a friend of God. Have you done what he has asked you to do? Are we obedient to his will and to his word, or do we have conditions? Do we have a point to which we will not go? Or are we saying, I'll go wherever you send me, I'll do whatever you ask. And God will share his intimate secrets with you. He will reveal his word to you. You would know his plans, beloved. And people, Christians especially, are pulling their hairs out when situations in the world doesn't work out according to their plans, according to what they believe they should be, and we begin to doubt and we begin to become frustrated, and God is in control, and God has told us what will happen in the end. But we haven't arisen to that level. We don't know his secrets, do we? We don't know the future, do we? You listen to your favorite television program, your favorite news channel, and you believe everything they say. You believe everything they say. And you trust one station more than another, but you believe everything they say. But the best they can do is to keep you abreast of the time. That's the best they can do. Get into the Word of God. It will teach you. It will show you things to come. It will keep you ahead of the times. The best the newscasters can do is to tell you what's happening now or what happened yesterday. This book tells us what happened yesterday. It tells us what's happening today. It tells us what happens tomorrow. Because we have gotten into the Word of God. We are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Therefore, we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We are near to him. We are his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Time is up. Jesus says, I repeat, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I'm going to close with one verse. I'm not going to elaborate on it. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we are through. John 14, verse 21. Secret of friendship, terms of endearment, you are my friend. John 14 and 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that's the same as doing them. He it is that loveth me, that's what friends do, they love each other. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I'm going to show him things. I'm going to take him aside like I took Abraham aside and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show him things. Abraham, believe God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. If you want to hear the rest of the story, then you come back this evening. There are other terms of endearment in the Word of God that we're going to look at the next session. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for the privilege thou hast given us of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for the privilege thou hast given us to open thy word together and to share with the saints. We ask thy blessing upon thy word, that whatever has been of thyself, you'd bless it to the hearts of thy people. You encourage us and strengthen us by thy Spirit with might in the inner man. And give us grace to aspire to that place of friendship where we allow the Lord to work in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We pray and give thanks as we ask thy blessing in parting. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.